Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wait for it. That popular expression is used in conversation and online to heighten suspense, perhaps through a less interesting gradual buildup, anticipating some sort of spectacle or other climactic event. Wait for it. May well go back to the British Army and dialogue from the 1930s, but I remember hearing it first in the much later TV show MASH, when radar would know the helicopters were coming before anyone else could hear them. Wait for it is said to have entered our popular use through a number of movies over the next two decades, but perhaps wait for it was used most by the characters on the more recent TV show, How I Met Your Mother. The expression may not have been current in Jesus' day, but in today's gospel reading, part of what Jesus tells Peter, the others listening, and us about his glorious kingdom is that in at least some sense, we have to wait for it. This morning, we reflect on today's gospel reading under the theme, Wait for It. By the revelation of God the Father, Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, as we heard in last week's gospel reading. As we heard in today's gospel reading, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer, be killed, and be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, essentially saying that God should forbid Jesus' death and resurrection, and speaking as if he, Peter, were Jesus and could effectively declare that those things would never happen. Recalling his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus called Peter Satan for not setting his mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Then Jesus told his disciples that they also must take up their crosses and lose their lives in order to find them. For the Son of Man, that is Jesus himself, will come and repay each person according to what he or she has done. With even the crowd standing there that day, arguably divided when Jesus comes the final time, with some benefiting from his victory over eternal death and others not so benefiting. Confessing Peter apparently also satanically wanted the glory of the Son of Man's kingdom right then and there, without having to wait for it through Jesus' death and resurrection and Peter's own. You and I, by nature, are no better. We come to faith after the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy about his own death and resurrection, and yet, like saint and sinner Peter, we may also not want to wait for the glory of the Son of Man's kingdom through our own deaths and resurrections. Or perhaps we do not set our mind on the things of God, but on the things of men in some other ways. Or perhaps we fail to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow Jesus through death to resurrection, and so to the glory that comes with his coming kingdom. To be sure, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature do not want to let God's kingdom come. And apart from the Holy Spirit working in us, we cannot deny ourselves, take up our crosses, or follow Jesus. Apart from faith, we deserve Jesus to repay our original and actual sin with temporal and eternal death. But when we, enabled by God, are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive them, then God, in fact, forgives all of our sins, whatever it might be. God forgives our sin for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who by the grace of God tasted eternal death for everyone. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, suffering many things, being killed and being raised was necessary for us and for our salvation. Out of his great love for us, the God-man Jesus underwent all of that, and all that his other prophecies of his death and resurrection included: betrayal, condemnation, delivery to the Gentiles, mocking, shameful treatment, being spat on, flogging, crucifixion, all that was written in the Old Testament's books of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms and other writings. You and I cannot give anything in return for our souls, but we do not need to, for Jesus has exchanged himself for us. He has redeemed us who were sinful with his own innocent suffering and death. When Jesus, who has tasted eternal death for us, comes the final time in his glorious kingdom, he will repay us with such things as forgiveness, according to the faith that he has graciously given us without any merit or worthiness on our part. Of course, that glorious kingdom is ours already now, albeit without the glory. In some sense, God's kingdom comes to us when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace, we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. Convicted by the law of the Ten Commandments, forgiven by the gospel of the Apostles' Creed, we pray the Lord that his kingdom may come to us also. And he answers us with baptism, absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. At the baptismal font, we become to follow Jesus. We begin to follow Jesus. Jesus who died and rose for us, by ourselves dying and rising with him in holy baptism. As we follow him, we seek out our pastors to privately confess the sins that trouble us for the sake of individual holy absolution. And so absolved, we come to this rail and so to the sacrament of this altar, where receiving bread that is Jesus' body and wine that is his blood, we taste and see not death, but that the Lord is good. Such faith, given to us and nourished in us in these ways, in which we can perceive the Son of Man coming in his kingdom without its true glory, such faith leads to our confession of him and to other good works, including our waiting through our own lives, temporal deaths, and resurrection for the true glory of the kingdom. Along the way, there will be persecution, such as that Jeremiah faced, as we heard in today's Old Testament reading. But we do not avenge ourselves, for as we heard in today's epistle reading and sang in the intro it, God avenges us on the last day. Here and now, we endure whatever God in his wisdom permits us to face, knowing that we are denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following Jesus through death to life. His unique suffering redeems us from all our failures, including our failing to follow him as we should. But that we will fail to follow him perfectly is not an excuse for not trying to follow him perfectly. For not trying to follow him perfectly is essentially to not follow him at all. Our faith-produced good works are themselves the evidence of the God-given faith that he will repay. People sometimes wrongly think that Jesus in today's gospel reading says that some of those standing there that day would still be alive on earth when he came the final time in his glorious kingdom. Rather, Jesus seems to have said that the believers standing there would not taste eternal death, that is, experience death as what it is, because they would benefit from Jesus's experiencing that death for them. Like them, when it comes to the Son of Man's glorious kingdom, whether or not we are among the remnant of believers alive when it comes, we wait for it in faith, and we receive it in its fullness by God's mercy and grace. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.